Indie Soul Rhythms with Michi Alfonso, bringing you the very best in Indie Soul.
Hey everybody, we are joined today by Canadian-born JC Soul, a multi-talented singer, songwriter, and performer. Welcome to Indie Soul Rhythms.
Hey, how you doing, Michi?
I'm good, thank you. I'm
nice
very
to
good.
See you. Nice to see you. Thank you for having me today.
No, thank you for taking time to chat to us. So without further ado, what we're going to do is we're just going to jump right into it, and we're going to go right to the beginning. And we'd like to ask you to kind of share your journey as a Canadian-born artist, and what really shaped your connection to R&B and the classic Philly sound. It's a loaded question, and what your earliest musical influences were.
Yeah, well, I think that growing up in Canada was pretty much the same as, growing up in the UK or growing up in the US. We had access to all this incredible music throughout the decades. And, thinking back to when I was a kid, apparently I was singing since about 18 months old. So it was just very natural to me to love music. My mother had been a former big band singer, so she had tons and tons of incredible albums and was playing music throughout the house all of the time. So I got used to hearing people like, Shirley Bassey and Lena Horne and all of the greats, Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr. Music gets into your soul. It just stays there. And of course, growing up as a teenager, I'm listening to all the stuff that I liked throughout the decades. Of course, my favorite stuff was always Motown and R&B.
Yeah.
And all the great, artists and even the great groups like the Shy Lights and the OJs and, the Temps and all of those people. I mean, we were so lucky to have been exposed to all of that. Because, sometimes I feel sad for some of the kids that haven't been exposed to it. Now, mind you, a lot of them are going back and listening to it, which is really cool, because that's really what shaped everything that we're listening to today when you think about it. So yeah, I think that all of those, all of those artists influenced me. And you don't really think about it too much. It just comes out in what you do because it's in your DNA by that time.
Yeah. No, it's amazing you mentioned all the greats, the Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, the Shy Lights, OJs,
I could go on
Davis
forever.
Jr., Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole. Yeah, we got to say, a big shout out to them. I know some of them are not with us anymore, but, they paved the way, and quite rightly so. And it's also the music that I grew up on.
Yes.
So I'm thinking about your legacy as an artist with years of touring experience. How has performing live influenced your approach to songwriting and recording?
Well, I really only did a lot of live stuff back in the day. Back then when we were touring, we toured in Europe and in Canada and in the US, but our base was in Canada. So, we'd do a lot of Western tours, 3 months, in like Winnipeg and Saskatchewan, and then, on through there, through the Rooting, Thunder Bay and all those wonderful places.
Yeah.
And, the crowd wanted to hear top 40 stuff on the rock side. But in the 80s, it was, all of the 80s music, but they wanted to hear what, they wanted to hear. And we had a management company who would send us out on these tours. And we basically had to learn the tunes that they asked us to learn. But the big focus back then was the entertainment value of what was happening on stage. So, I got to really go a little bit crazy and rock it out. And that was a lot of fun. But, although that wasn't my real choice, as far as the genre that I liked, it was still a great experience. And I've got to, travel the world. We worked in Switzerland and Germany. We worked at the Las Vegas Hilton and in Reno. And we worked at the Fontainebleau in Miami. So, it was a great experience. And I learned a lot from it. I learned that it's not always as much fun as people may seem to think it is. Because a lot of the times you're just working, in these little tiny towns where there's not much going on. And, the rooms aren't that great. And you're eating from a restaurant every single night, and you're away from your family. So, that was a little bit tough. So when I got out of that, and again, it wasn't a lot of money, it was just sort of having fun, right?
Yeah.
When I got out of that, I thought, I'm going to take a rest for a while. So when I did that, I thought about, how I could possibly move forward. After I got into a corporate career because I wanted money. I wanted a way to support myself and to buy a home and a car and, live the life. Because I think one thing that I really missed when I was traveling, I'd see all these people, that I'd meet them all in the clubs having a life. And I felt like I didn't have that anymore. I was just sort of like a vagabond and I didn't like that feeling. So going back to corporate, I know I was in that for a while. That wasn't fun either, but at least I was able to, earn out a good living. It actually came in handy. Now, when I left corporate and I sort of re-emerged into the music scene, I had a lot of skills. I had a lot of computer skills. I knew how to use just about every application there was. I used to do a lot of writing in the job that I had, so I know how to write. So when I started recording music, not only could I do that part of it, which was natural, but I could do all the admin part of it too. And I wasn't afraid to do it. I knew I sort of just followed the guidelines of other people and things that I read. So, the corporate came in handy with that.
I
But
totally
as far
agree.
as performing live, sorry, Muchi, as far as performing live, and unfortunately, I don't do it a lot now because where I am in my community, there's not a lot of call for the kind of music that I do. I really want to perform more. I'm looking to do that, but I don't want to do like the circuit anymore. I don't want to do that. Not that there is a circuit, perhaps, I don't know. Back then, you were working 6 nights a week. And in Europe and Las Vegas, it was 7 nights a week. And you're on 3 month tours. So it was nonstop, nonstop. I'm sure that's not happening anymore unless you're Dave Koz or someone. So, but I do want to get back to performing. So there's not really, I mean, I learned a lot from what I did, but I haven't been able to implement it in my performances now because I don't do a lot. But I'm so excited about the recording aspects of it that it doesn't really bother me too much,
No,
I'm excited about what I'm doing.
No, that's interesting. Because I think I know quite a lot of people who've been in corporate and have left corporate and are doing pretty much, what you're doing. And they are definitely using the skills that they gained, gained in corporate. Some it's marketing, some it's kind of speaking to people in public and that kind of thing. So I totally understand that, and I identify with that. Even I also left corporate to do what I'm doing. But I was just thinking, after listening to some of your music, I kind of, seen that it captures the retro sound, but it stays current. And how do you strike that balance in your production?
People ask me that all the time. And actually, when people started sort of recognizing that in my music, saying, wow, it sounds retro, I thought, wow, I didn't realize that it sounded retro. I wasn't trying to make it sound that way. And I think it's what we were talking about. All of the artists that I was exposed to, during that time, you just emulate them sort of organically. So I think that's, where that came from. As far as the modern aspect, I always want to keep things modern. I adore a lot of the artists today, the new, the Billie Eilish and the Ariana Grande and the Her. Like, I love these artists. They're amazing, and what they're doing is so cool. I just love it. So I try, when I'm working on a production with someone, I try and make it current because I want it to, appeal to everyone. I want everyone to understand it. So, and then plus I just enjoy listening to it that way. So it's not really anything that's all that thought out. It just sort of happens.
So from when you actually began in making music, how has your sound evolved from your, from that time to what you're creating now?
Do you mean from the very beginning when I was just touring or from when I start reemerged to record?
From when you re-emerged to record,
Reemerged.
sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one because when I sort of started up again, I didn't really plan it. Somebody approached me, a friend of mine, and said, why don't you just take a few songs that you love from the past and we'll go downtown Toronto and we'll record them with some great players that I know, right? So That was a real basic. I did that, and the EP is called Working on a Groovy Thing. And so I did take six songs that I love from the past, and it was kind of like a production off of the floor. It didn't have all the fancy bells and whistles, and it was more jazz as opposed to anything else. There's some R&B for sure. But that was different. That was the very beginning. From there, I thought, I really should start writing some more of my own music. I did write some back in the day when we were in the rock band. So I thought, let's do something here that's a little bit special. So I didn't know how far I was going to get with it. But I did write Our Groove, which ended up pretty much blowing up over the indie circuit. Like, I was super surprised. But it really came out nicely. The production was beautiful. I worked with some great people, and that's what really got me going. And I think that was a big change from what I had done in 2019. So I've tried to continue on that path. And I think that, with each recording, they're not always exactly the same sound. Some people say, well, you're changing your sound a little bit here and there, but I mean, that's what I want to do, right? That's what I want to do. I just do what makes me happy. So yeah, it has changed along the way, but I think it's changed for the better.
But I'm glad that you do what what makes you happy, because when I listen to your music, I hear that there's a fusion of R&B and smooth jazz. And thank you very much for sending me your latest single, Take Me Home. What inspired that single, and how did the collaboration with Mo Lewis come about?
Well, it's just one of those things. Like, I started to think about writing a new song, and most of my songs are love songs. So it started to evolve just, in my head. And I thought, how am I going to present this one? And who do I want to speak to, when I distribute this one? So my idea was to sort of combine, as you said, the smooth jazz with the R&B. But in order to do that, I thought I need to get a high profile player. And I had a short-lived series called Smooth Jazz This Week with JC Soul, which was distributed all over. Different radio stations were playing it. It was a 19-episode series. So I was communicating with a lot of these different smooth jazz artists, saying, "Hey, I'm going to play your music. Can you give me a voice tag?" So I'd get to know people, and Mo was one of the people that I got to know. And when I heard his song, To the Max, I was like, wow, this guy's amazing. Like, his sax playing was like beyond exceptional. So I had reached out to him. I said, look, I'm writing this song, and would you be a part of it? Would you be a part of it? And he said, okay, well, let me listen to what you got, right? So we had a demo ready, and he heard the demo, and he said, sure, I'll be a part of it. I'd be happy to. So that's how that came about. And I think, it turned out quite nicely. And I'm forever indebted to him for being featured on that recording.
No, it is a great track, and I just love it.
Thank you.
Could you share a bit about your creative process when writing and recording your self-penned songs?
Sure. It starts off in my head, in the air, and it's usually when I'm doing a mundane task, brushing my teeth or sweeping or something. I just start humming and thinking, okay, let's come up with a melody line. Usually it starts with a melody line, but it's a choppy process, because what I do is I'll hear something in my head, and I'll grab my phone and I'll sing it into my phone. So I have a record of all these little bits and pieces, and then I gradually put them all together. When I've got something that's sort of I can put in a form, I come to my keyboard and I sort of plunk out the progressions that I want. I have enough, understanding of music to be able to do that. And then, of course, coming up with the lyrics. So it's like sometimes it takes a few months, sometimes it takes a shorter period of time. But after that, after I've got all that ready to go, I have a writing partner. His name is Lou Bartolomucci. He's a very good friend of mine. So I go to his place. He's got a studio in his house, and first of all, we sit together and we develop the song together, because he's a great player. He plays guitar, he plays keys, and he's also a teacher. He's great. So he helps me develop and arrange the song, and then once we've done that, we think, well, do we want to do a demo, or do we just want to go in and record it? So that's how it begins. Sometimes, it'll just stay with him. For instance, I don't know if you've heard Best of Things. Best of Things was recorded in Lou's studio,
Yeah.
but our groove was recorded in another studio. Another favorite producer of mine, Michael Shutton. He's incredible. He's Mr. High Energy. He's got all the bells and whistles, and he's got incredible ideas. He's so talented. So we went to him with our groove and many of the others. So it all depends on, where we're going and what we decide at that moment that we think, okay, we're ready to go.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So are there any particular challenges or breakthroughs you've experienced?
There's a lot of challenges. As far as a breakthrough, I think the breakthrough is just the fact that I've been able to, create this music and have people listen to it. I'm super proud of that. When I first started, I didn't really expect all that much. I was hoping, of course, but I didn't expect all that much. So just the fact that I'm here is a breakthrough. But if you're asking for a specific breakthrough, I think our groove was it. It kind of got me in the door, right? As far as challenges, there are so many, just like with anything else in life. When you're an independent artist, you're not only just recording, writing, recording, and performing. As we mentioned earlier, we're doing all the admin work. We're doing all of the, social media promoting. We have to create a brand that's effective, and we have to make sure that we stay with that brand and keep it positive. That's a lot of work in itself, just the social media aspect of it. We're connecting with other people all of the time. That part of it I just love, because some of these people that I've never even met, musicians and followers alike, they're like family to me. So I just love that part. But yeah, there's a lot of challenges. I mean, sometimes you expect a recording to do better than it does, and that's a little bit heartbreaking. Because we're very sensitive people, artists as well. So you have to learn how to sort of grow a thick skin, and it's going to hurt from time to time, but you get over it, and you just keep going. But when you put it all together, it's just for the love of what you do.
I was speaking to Will Downing the other day, and he said his music, because I asked him a question about one of the, what's his favorite song from his latest album. And he said, his songs are like child, his children.
They are.
You love them equally. So I get it when you say you put out a song and it doesn't do well. It's like having a child and who's not doing what you're expecting. And I
It's
get
like having a child that nobody likes.
that. I get that totally.
I mean, it hasn't happened to me a lot. I'm lucky, but you just expect certain songs to do better than they've done, and it's kind of surprising when they don't. So you just kind of have to roll with the punches, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And talking about being an independent artist, you've got global recognition, and what are some key lessons you've learned about sustaining a career in music?
One thing I have learned is trying to keep up with, the current trends. Always trying to improve whatever you did, however you did it last time. Trying to streamline the process, because, as I said before, you're sort of learning as you go along, and it's all like patchwork, and it can be very challenging. But as you go along, if you sort of keep a record of how you're doing things. And, for instance, when I send my music out to DJs, of course, I'm going to keep a list of all of my favorite DJs and the guys that play my music and the women that play my music and the music curators. So the next time I just go to that, spreadsheet and copy and paste it, learn how to distribute your music to them. I use Dropbox now. It works for me. You just use all these different things that, it depends on the person, of course, that make things easier as you go along. I've learned that I have to keep connecting with people, because, I'm connecting with some pretty cool people now. And it took some time. And like, you're one of those cool people, Mucci.
Oh, thank
But
you.
it took some time. But that's the other thing. You have to be patient, because it doesn't all happen overnight, let's say. It's like anything else. You build and you build and you build. And then you finally get to a place where you're comfortable, but you're always still learning,
Absolutely.
always, always still learning. So that I think that's what I've learned, to have an open mind, always do some sort of, research. How can I do it better? What can I do now to improve the process? And what can I do? I love helping my fellow artists too. I love supporting them. And we all sort of we're a family that way. And that sort of helps us all. So when the support is there, you have more confidence.
Absolutely,
You feel
absolutely.
like somebody's on your side. And so when I get that from other artists, I'd like to give it to them too, because we're all working so hard and we all know how hard we work. So I think those are the things I've learned.
Oh, that's amazing. Looking at today's music industry landscape, I remember growing up, you could walk into a record store, buy a vinyl or buy a cassette tape. This is before, way before CDs came out. But now it's like everything you release now is it's got to be online. There's all this streaming, et cetera, et cetera. How do you view your role as a legacy artist?
Well, I think that, it's people are coming back to vinyl. I know, especially in the UK, people are coming back to vinyl, which is really cool. But I mean, even with CDs, like I have to say to people, do you even have a CD player? Like if I send you a CD, do you even have a player? Do you have anything to play it on? Right? They're making cars. When they make cars now, there's no CD player in them. It's just the way the world is going, right? So it's kind of a shame, but in another way, it's cool because people can have instant access to your music. When you're on, Spotify and YouTube and platforms like that. But there's so much competition. There's so much music out there that it's hard for me to get the numbers that I really want to get. And being where I am, I don't live in Los Angeles. I'm not gigging at clubs, and people don't all know about me. And it's so different, your location. Like I'm in a little town called Binbrook in Ontario. Right? So it's harder for me to get the numbers that I want, which is another disappointment, but I completely understand why. And the other thing is, you're not receiving, there's no money coming back in. There's a lot of money going out, and I don't think if people realized how much money is
You
spent
spend,
and
yeah.
time, resources, and anxiety at getting all this stuff together, they'd be surprised. But if you people are getting it free, they're listening to it, more often because they can ac have access to it too. They don't have to pay for it. I see both sides, but I still think that artists should be paid for what they do. But we don't have control over that. But I'm happy with it. I'm good with it. I'm just, I'm an independent artist. I'm just glad to be out there and to be heard.
So with that in mind, what advice would you give up and coming artists or emerging artists who are aiming to cover a career,
There's probably a few things I would say. The first thing you need to do is build a brand. If you're obviously you're already a musician, whether you play guitar, piano, or whether you're a vocalist, whether you have a band, you need to build a brand. You need to decide what that brand is going to be based on what you do. When I came up with JC Soul, of course, I wanted soul to be in the title or the name. I didn't want it to be Soul. I wanted it to be Sol, like the sun in Spain. But then I found out that so many people said, "Well, is it Sol or is it soul?" And some people still spell it soul,
with a
Soul. So
U.
anyway, it didn't really work. But I love that name that I gave myself because JC are my real initials. And then I thought, let's build a positive brand. Let's build a brand. I'm from Canada. I do love songs. I try and keep everything light and positive. A lot of these newer artists, I mean, sometimes they'll sort of commingle their political thoughts on their page with their music and things like that. That's really not a good idea. I mean, do that elsewhere, right? If that's what you need to do, but don't do it there. And find a mentor if you can. Connect with as many people as possible. That is super important because those people are going to take you far. And you'll end up taking them far too. But again, it takes time and it takes patience. And you really have to think about what you're doing and how you're doing it. And the other thing, which is really difficult, is funding. You know, try and find funding where you can. If you're, you know, your government has some sort of funding program that will allow you to receive a grant, you know, try and find someone who will help you do that. That's where the mentor comes in. Or even someone in your family who's willing to invest, you know. There's so much that goes into it, but I guess my big advice would be to stay positive. If you really love what you do, then just keep going with it. Just keep going and just keep learning and reach out to people when you need some help. There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. That's really wise words. And I'm just now thinking about, your time in the music industry. How do you maintain the passion and the drive for music after all this time?
That's not hard at all. I
Yeah.
mean, that's who we are as artists. That's what we live for. When we're not, you know, making our own music, we're listening to music. I'd much rather sit there and listen to beautiful music all night than to watch some of the horrors that are on television. I mean, it just takes you to a place that, you know, is serene and makes you happy.
Yeah.
So, I don't have, you know, any issues with the passion. The passion's always there. Sometimes, you know, as we've said, when there are disappointments and challenges, you know, you get to the point you stand, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not
Yeah.
going to do it anymore, right? And then like 2 days later,
Yeah.
you're thinking, I think I'll start writing another song, or maybe I'll, you know, maybe I'll arrange a duet with this person. So, you know, it's like anything else, but it never leaves you. It's just always there. It's nothing
Yeah.
that has to be forced.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of the number of times I felt like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I know I've got an interview scheduled and I'm feeling lethargic and I don't want to do it. But the minute I get into it,
Yeah.
it's like, wow, what
Yeah.
was that
Yeah.
all about? Forget
Yeah, I
all about
know.
it. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
If only, you know, we could control our brains, right? I'm like a squirrel in traffic half the time, so.
Yeah, so now we know what keeps you inspired in terms of music, but outside music, what keeps you inspired and motivated?
I think just being happy, being around my family, you know, my husband. I have a little dog that I love. I have a great extended family. I have friends. We love going out to see people play various gigs around. You know, we don't do it that often, but you know, we don't get out as much as we should because ever since the pandemic, you're afraid to go out because you don't want to get sick. But luckily, this winter we didn't get sick. It was a miracle. Knock wood, because
Wow,
we're
you are
still in
lucky.
winter, right? But yeah, just sort of staying in touch with nature, exercising, eating right,
Yeah.
doing the little things that make you happy. Like I'm crazy on social media with animals. Lately, I'm in love with birds, cockatiels. So I'll go on these sites and I'll just listen to these sweet little creatures and it just makes me so happy.
Yeah.
So, you know, that sort of thing. If you want some instant happiness, just find something that makes you happy instantly. That's what I do. Because there's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now that's not so great and that can be pretty scary. So, you know, we have to sort of pull ourselves away from things that we can't control, right?
Absolutely.
Now, I'm not saying not to be informed because we definitely need to be informed, but just do things that make you happy. That's what I do.
Well, yeah. No, I totally agree. I mean, myself, I try to watch as little news as possible so that I've got my own narrative that I know is positive. I don't want anybody, creating a narrative that I know is it's got some different agendas.
That's right. Yeah. Because you can be carried, like you can be carried
Absolutely.
the wrong way.
And we wonder what causes road rage.
Exactly.
So your music resonates deeply with fans of blue-eyed soul and smooth jazz. How do you connect with your audience, both in person and online? I know you touched a little bit about it, but I just thought you could maybe go a bit deeper into that.
Well, again, I think that over the years I've found, and just through working through it, I've found people that I've gathered a lot of followers who just enjoy that kind of music. But I think they also, and going back to the social media thing, they also enjoy my brand.
Yeah.
So, you know, they understand, they like it, it brings them joy, they feel positive about what they see, and they start to like you as a person, right? So I think, you know, that's why a lot of people have even just gotten into the kind of music that I do. Some of them may have not even known about it before, because, you know, smooth jazz, even though it's been up there a long time, there's not a lot of people that are familiar with it, just your regular layman. They're not all that familiar with it. I know UK is totally different. UK loves their soul. I
Yeah.
just, you guys are so cool over there. You love your soul, and you love your smooth jazz. Here in Canada, not so much. So, having to be able to reach out to everyone, like in the UK and Germany and you know, Amsterdam and the United States, everywhere, Spain, it's just amazing that I've been able to connect with people that appreciate what I can bring to the genre.
Yeah.
Because I am blue-eyed soul, you know, it's hard for me to go get on some of those heavy soul playlists because I'm just not that heavy soul. I'm blue-eyed soul. I am who I am.
Yeah.
But even just to be able, because that's the kind of music I like too, right? But just to be able to be included with those people, it's a lot of fun. So I'm hoping that some people are sort of appreciating what I do, you know, appreciating what I can bring to the table as far as the genre goes.
Yeah. And I guess that's our job as DJs to make sure that, people are exposed to as much music as possible, and they get to appreciate a wider variety of genres rather than just hearing one type of genre and think that's all that's available. So,
It's
yeah.
not always the case, but yeah.
But it's not, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any exciting collaborations or performances?
Yeah, I'm actually in the planning stages of something. I can't give you too many details,
Yeah, understand.
but I love doing duets. I did a duet called Calling Out back in 2023. I had written that one as a duet. I love duets. I love like all of the old, you know, Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell and
Yeah.
those old duets of the day. So I've got another idea for a duet. It's in the planning stages. And I've got a very talented R&B male vocalist in. He's in with me already, and
Okay.
his voice is absolutely incredible. And the song that I've chosen, it's an old Burt Bacharach song. I'll give you a hint that actually Luther Vandross had covered back in 2011.
Okay.
So yeah, and I'm doing it in a duet form, so it'll be a little bit different. So I'm super excited about that. It'll take some time. I'm not going to rush it. You know, I want it when you rush things that they don't always turn out the way you want them to. So
Yeah.
take some time. And so we're just starting now, which is to me the most exciting part when you just start, right?
I look forward to
So
that.
yeah, that's what's coming up.
Oh,
And you'll
amazing.
be among the first to get it,
I appreciate that. I can't
Muchi.
wait. And yeah, looking ahead, where do you see your artistry and career heading in the next few years?
You know, I don't really look ahead too much. I just sort of take it one day at a time. You know, if I had a whole lot of funding set and ready to go, I could make more of a business plan. But, you know, independent artists, for the most part, just don't have that. So they kind of have to, you know, go as they can and see how, you know, see what's available to them as far as funding and resources. And, you know, there's so much to it. But I try now not to, you know, look forward too much. Because I have to be able to follow through on that plan. And if I don't think I can follow through, then I don't want to, you know, put myself in that position. So I'm just kind of enjoying every moment and every day. And, you know, kind of creative people do that. They
Yeah.
slide into things, you know, they're sort of, they don't rush it. They just sort of hope for the best and do what they can to make themselves and other people happy. And that's what I want to do.
Brilliant. I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for taking time to chat with us. I really appreciate your time. This platform is available whenever you feel you got something to share. You can always get in touch. But before we let you go, I'm going to ask you to do us the honor of introducing your new single, which is we talked about earlier.
Sure. Are we ready to go?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. This is JC Soul, and you're about to hear my latest single called Take Me Home, featuring Mo Lewis.
Thank you so much.
Ooh.
could stop the flow of time. Moment to moment, days go flashing by. Counting the hours till we're all alone. Waiting right here for love to take me home. Sometimes drag us down. We ebb and we flow, and the world keeps spinning round. Yeah. Over and over, the day becomes the night. I know that having you near me makes everything.